We have been born under a monarchy. To obey God is freedom. Seneca. This is Citadelium, episode 23, and I'm your host, Yuri De Gaia. Today I want to talk about something that we all care about, and that is freedom. The talk about freedom is everywhere right now, especially connected with the events of recent months and even years, with the prospects of the so-called Great Reset. People just scream about freedom all the time. They want to be free. I think a lot of people, although they want to have this freedom, don't really understand what freedom actually is. So I think over time, this word freedom has been overused somewhat, and it lost its actual meaning. So in non-anarchist circles, for example, it usually means things like civil liberties or human rights. So if you are for freedom, you actually are for things like freedom of speech or freedom of expression or freedom of gathering at some place with other people, those kinds of things. And as we see with the Great Reset and the coronavirus events, this calls for freedom of movement, for example, freedom of expression as well. They have reason. There's a lot of it right now because people simply can't go anywhere, and they can't get together with their friends, with their family. So this is completely understandable. And then I think there's also too much promotion of this word, too much promotion of the word freedom without really much sense. Many good people actually promote it. Many good people talk about freedom, how it's important to be free. I also think that the other side, the parasites themselves, the dark side of our existence and our humanity, I guess, they also promote freedom in a certain way, because you have to remember that first, they always like to play both sides. However, they also realize that the word freedom itself is so vague that they can steer it anywhere they want, right? They can steer that definition of the word freedom anywhere they want, because it can literally mean anything they can define it. And there's no concrete action or progress is made because of the vagueness of this concept, right? So when we talk about them steering the definition, the meaning of the word freedom, you can see it from things like, for example, the proletariat must be free from the usurping bourgeois class, or the gays must be free from the oppression of the straight people, things like that, right? That is freedom. That's pretty much what they advocate, and this is for them, this is freedom. So they cater to specific classes of society. At the same time, there is also this feeling that there is no concrete action or progress that can be made, because the concept is so vague. You can also see that people mostly talk about freedom, but they don't really do anything about it, right? They can have a blog or a podcast like myself. They can have meetings and demonstrations. Sometimes they try to rise up, I highly doubt it. Mostly it's just people complaining on the internet, people complaining about things, but nothing really happens, because they talk about freedom as something that they want to, something obscure, something very abstract that they want to achieve, but they can't really define it. They can't really describe what freedom is for them. So if you ask anybody from the street what is freedom to you, I guess they will just ask they will just answer that, well, freedom to me is being able to do whatever the hell I want to do, and that's about it. So, but the thing is that this type of definition is actually pretty spread among anarchists as well, and anarcho-capitalists, right? So if you ask an anarcho-capitalist what freedom is, then most likely they'll tell you, well, I can do whatever I want as long as I do not aggress against others. Or to be more specific, I do not aggress against their private property. And their body also includes the private property. So this is essentially the principle behind the NAP, or the non-aggression principle. But then you don't really get absolute freedom, don't you? Because if you think about it, if you cannot aggress against someone's private property, if you can't go against their, you know, body, or if you can't trespass their property, then you don't really have that absolute freedom anymore, right? So when I hear someone say that freedom is absolute, there's absolute, I want absolute freedom, even according to anarcho-capitalists, you can't get absolute freedom because you are already limited by the whole definition of the non-aggression principle. You cannot trespass, you cannot aggress against others. And that's a huge limitation towards your freedom. What if you want to? Well, you can't in that type of situation. Now, a lot of people will also tell you that freedom has limitations because there's some kind of natural moral code that is usually common sense, right? Things like don't kill, don't steal. They are essentially natural, and most people can agree on these things. So freedom can be granted to people in, for example, in an anarcho-capitalist society, but then you know, most people will not do any of those things. They will not trespass, they will not aggress against somebody or, you know, their body, because they have this common sense. But remember that a lot of people don't really have common sense, and about 5% of the whole world population are psychopaths or sociopaths. What does that mean? Well, that means that actually those people are morally deficient on a physiological level. It is how they are made. This is how their bodies and their brains are made. They literally don't have empathy, so they don't really have the same moral compass as the other people. And for them, achieving a goal is more important than how to achieve that goal. So at the end of the day, for them, means justify the ends, right? So they can trespass and they can do all kinds of things to achieve their goals. And the reality of the situation that you cannot convince them otherwise, because they will not understand you. Simply do, they will not understand you. They may pretend that they do. A lot of them are good actors too, but they will literally not understand because they don't have that empathy gene, so to speak. They don't have empathy on a physiological level, so they can't really understand you. So in a world where you want to have complete absolute freedom, there will be these 5% of people, who, which I consider a lot. 5% is a lot. It's 5 out of 100, right? That will not care about your rules and your rights, your ways of life. They will do whatever they think is good for them, right? So they don't follow the ethics because they simply can't. So in such a world, a world of absolute freedom, can these people have absolute freedom? I guess they can't, because, well, you will probably try to kick them out as soon as they violate your NAP, your non-aggression principle, right? That's why I think that absolute freedom does not really exist. That's the truth that I want to convey here, is that there is no such thing as absolute freedom in the physical world. I think you should give up your fantasies about it. However, I wanted to add as well that the world of matter, the material world, is in general the world of limitation, right? It's a world of limitation, and anywhere you go, anything you do in this world, you'll bump into limits. There's just limits absolutely everywhere. There's height, there's width, there's density. When we talk about people, someone's taller, someone's shorter, someone's faster, someone's smarter, someone's dumber. There's all kinds of limits for all kinds of people, for animals, for plants, for absolutely everything in this world. So you can't really be completely free doing whatever you want. If you know, obviously a silly example, but if you think that I want to be free as a bird and fly. And you jump off of a cliff, you'll probably or most likely fall and die instead of actually being able to fly unless you have special equipment. Also taking into account your social life, as soon as your interaction starts with others, as soon as you start interacting with other people, you become a lot more limited than as if you were by yourself. So imagine a person who has absolute freedom. All right, you can go and do whatever you want in the wilderness, but then as soon as you start interacting with other people in other words, have a social life, that's where you get limitations. That's where you stumble into limits, right? So, for example, in a family, when you start a family, you have to have dedication to your spouse. You have to sacrifice time or hobbies or other things for children so that your family is strong and happy. And that is not absolute freedom. You are not really free to do whatever you want because now you have limitations within your family life. It's exactly the same within a community. To get along in a community, you must follow certain canons of that community, certain rules, certain traditions, and you have to get along with the other families in the community, which means that you have to give up certain maybe ambitions or habits or whatever you may have. You actually have to give up certain amount of freedom in order to live in that community. So now let's talk about private property as well. When you are at someone else's place, you have to follow their rules, right? You have to follow their rules or you will be kicked out by that person, by the host, because you don't follow their rules. So do you really have freedom when you visit someone else's place? You don't, because suddenly you are under someone else's jurisdiction and they can tell you what you can and cannot do. If you don't like it, you can leave, but once you're in, you can't. Now, Let's scale up a little bit and remember something here. We are building a world of citadels, a world of tens of thousands of citadels, which are essentially monarchies and republics that are, the key word here, privately owned. They are privately owned monarchies, principalities, and city-states that we can build, right? So almost anywhere you go, pretty much anywhere you go on the planet, you cannot have absolute freedom because of that. Because you have to obey local rules of that place where you are, right? If you are someone's guest, I'm repeating myself, you have to follow the host's rules. So if you are in someone's citadel, you just have to follow the rules or be kicked out of there. So the only freedom you actually have is the freedom to choose the citadel that you like. But once you are inside, limits upon you and upon your person are imposed. That's how things are. So obviously it would be great to have tens of thousands of citadels, and that's why I'm talking about it, because you have a lot of choice. Like, you really have a lot of choice. Anywhere you go on the planet, it's pretty much private property, but because there's so many options out there, you will most likely find something that works for you. You want a communist paradise, there's probably an experiment somewhere in one corner of the earth or many where they actually experiment in their little citadels with the communist regimes. Of course, they'll fail, but you can still go ahead and try it, right? If you want a more libertine society with strip clubs and things like that, then you can join one as well. If you want more traditional, family-oriented society, more maybe more cultured and ethical, you go into that one and try that one. This will be a great experiment because the free market will actually show which systems work best and which don't, right? But when it comes to freedom, this is the only freedom that you get, the freedom of choice where to be. You don't really have absolute freedom when you are in any particular citadel. So your alternative essentially in this type of world is life in the wilderness. Obviously, if you live in the wilderness and there's no citadels, nothing, you are free to do whatever you want. There's probably nobody imposing any rules on you, but let's get real, very, very few people will choose that lifestyle. So a lot of people would just have to sacrifice their certain freedoms in order to live in a society. That's, as some people say that about taxes, but that also applies here. That's the price that you pay to live in a cultured society, right? That's the price that you pay to live in a civilization. So does it mean that we cannot really be free at all? I don't think we can be free in the physical or external world. This is the world of limits. It's literally made of limits. It's made of matter. It's essentially a prison. This whole world is a prison, and there's a consequence for every action that you take due to the limits of this world. Whatever you do, there's a consequence. You drive a little too fast, you can get in a crash, right? You are a little too slow, you can get shouted at from behind. You have to just follow. You have to follow the rules. You have to follow the way that the material world works, right? You have to follow and merge with these limitations. You have to be part of the world, right? And live in them. You have to accept them. You can't really fight these limitations because the whole world is limited. But I do think that freedom is possible. If not absolute, but a very, very high degree of freedom is possible in the inner or a spiritual world that you can develop. So I think the only freedom you can achieve is actually within you, within yourself. If you study yourself, if you know thyself, as the Bible says, kingdom of heaven is within. So you have to really take time to study your inner world as much as you study the external world. And I think that blissful, absolute freedom is possible only within you. But once you achieve that level, once you gain that degree of freedom, and it's not really, like a day and night switch. It's more like a gradual process of attaining that state of consciousness. But once you get that, you will be able to extrapolate, or you will be able to project that internal freedom into the external world, in the world of limits, so that anywhere you go, whether you're, in a bad situation, good situation, in a bad country, good country, absolutely anywhere you go, you don't really suffer that much because you already have that internal freedom in you. You essentially merge with that world. You become one with it, with the external world, and you just adapt to absolutely any situation. This also has to do with the stoic mindset that I talked about in one of the previous episodes, right? So you don't freak out when something bad happens. You just accept the fact that it happened, and you work your way through the material world based on what's happening right now, and that's it. You stop worrying about things. You also stop getting too much excited about things because you know that all of these emotions, all of these ups and downs in the world are temporary. They are temporary compared to the eternal, infinite bliss of that freedom that you have inside of you. They are absolutely nothing. So you can really focus at your task at hand, you can find your destiny, so to speak. You can find the work that you want to do in within your physical lifetime here on Earth, and focus specifically on that and forget about everything else. Forget about the limits of the world. You basically use those limits to your advantage, but you don't really care about them that much anymore. So that's what I wanted to say about freedom. I hope it's not too much. This is just my perspective. This is the way I see it right now. Next time you hear someone talking about freedom, just, you know, maybe ask them, what exactly do they mean by freedom? What exactly do they mean by being free? With that said, I hope you liked the episode. Subscribe, I'll see you next time.